Thank you. Thank you for
giving. Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out of the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is October 14, 2023, or it is the 30th day of Tishrei. 2027, we will start our first seventh day of the song entitled In the Garden. I come to the garden of love, and the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the sound of your discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, another has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me, it's as my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none of it is I'd stay in the garden with him, where the light around me be falling, where he bids me go to the voice of war. He is calling. With me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share as we take it back, and of him as a day. Two timely greetings. They're going by V.T. Hollis. Death to flee away. It says, the feast that rolls away the veil opens the gates and causes death to flee away. And actually, it says, lewdness flees away, revival and reformation. When? Well, we have to have a revival and reformation. That's the only thing left to win to start this new world and close out this old world. And so this is a text of address of V.T. Hollis, September 6, 1947. I know we've probably given this just recently, but we're going to do it again. Pay close attention to the prayer thought, more or less. It says, we're going to read from you guys, Yahshua's object lesson. Okay, it says, beginning on page 40, the feast, it's the last paragraph. Okay. It says, instead of discussing the erroneous theories or seeking to combat the opponents of the gospel, follow the example of Yahshua. Let first truth from Yahweh's treasure house flash into life. Preach the word. Sow beside all waters. Now, what does that mean, sow beside all waters? All races, kindred, tongue, and people, whoever you meet, don't matter. You sow the seed of truth to them. Okay? Sow beside all waters, be instant in season, out of season. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith Yahweh? Every word of Yahweh is pure. And thou add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. We should pray this afternoon for the ability to follow the example of Yahshua in teaching. We should also pray that we shall remember that we are instructed not to engage in the debate with those who disagree with us. That Yahshua did not debate, and neither must we if we are to win. That Yahweh will supply us with the truth, a fresh truth, to bring to the people. That if such truths do not convince the opposers of the everlasting gospel, nothing will. Even if the dead should arise for a witness against them, that we exalt the Bible above all other books, that we measure all else with the Bible yardstick, and forever break all other measuring sticks. That's the end of the prayer talk. Let's go right on into the sermon now. A feast that rolls away the veil, opens the gates, and causes death to flee away. Now this is where we're at today. For the text of our study this afternoon is Isaiah 25 and 26. In order properly for the orientating ourselves with the subject matter, we shall begin with the sixth verse of the chapter 25. Afterwards, we shall study the first five verses, Isaiah 25:6. And in this mountain shall the Yahshua, this is the Son of the host, make unto all people a feast of the fat things, a feast of the wines on the lees of the fat things, full of marrow of the wines on the lees well refined. First of all, we should find the truth of this figurative mountain. For this information, we must go to the last verse of the 24th chapter, because the story of the 25th chapter begins with the previous chapter. We shall read these verses connectedly. Isaiah 24:23, and then Isaiah 25:6. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Yahshua of the host shall reign in Mount Zion. Now this, we're this Mount Zion at the 12th hour. This is the Mount Zion he's talking about. This is that mountain that Yahshua is going to come back and reign in. He's going to tell you, as soon as we become sanctified and purified, and we get our health completely restored, then Yahshua is going to show up. He's going to show up to start this revival and reformation with us. But our bodies have to be made whole first. We got to do this right now. And then Yahushua, and before his ancients gloriously, and in this mountain, Mount Zion, shall the Yahshua of the host make unto all people a feast of the fat things, a feast of the wines on the lees, of the fat things full of the marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Here you see that Mount Zion is the mountain. Now what Vicki Hollis left out, was this, that Mount Zion at the 12th hour is this mountain. But because Vicki Hollis only taught or count to 11, he wrote that tract, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. And that's all the further he could go. But actually it should have been called Mount Zion at the 12th hour. He just mislabeled it. Because he couldn't count to but 11. So it says, here you see that the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, in the 12th parabolic hour, is the mountain of the house of the Yahweh, which is mentioned in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. See, it's that same mountain of the house of Yahweh. It's the house of the Yahshua. It's the one that David built unto him. We'll prepare a feast for all people. Now what does it mean? Prepare a feast for all people. Right here in this kingdom. Mount Zion, the 12th hour. Who we represent. This is what we represent. He said Yahshua is going to come and sit upon the throne of David. Luke 1:32. And it says, he's going to cause his people to prepare a feast for all people. Now, folks, I overlooked this before when I read this before. But I was just listening to the news last night, Tucker Carlson, on Twitter, had a 22-minute interview with two different people. And one was a State Department man from Washington, D.C. And he said there's 160 nations in the world. And they all have their people in our country. All 160 nations have run over our borders. He said they're flying them in to 43 of our airports here in the United States every day. They're coming into our southern border of California, Arizona, and Texas, New Mexico, and Texas. They're coming in through our northwest from Oregon, Washington State, up there, from Canada. They're flying in from the east, from Africa. They're flying into 43 of our airports every day in the United States, bringing thousands. Going to completely flood this country until there's no recognition of it, of being a United States of America. Okay, that's what's going on right now. Alright, so it says, here you see. Well, I can go to Exodus chapter 20 and read to you about whether he's going to gather his people out of all nations wherein they have been scattered. He's going to bring them into the wilderness of the people. That's in Ezekiel 20, verse about 30 to 40. He says he's going to bring them into the wilderness of the people. He's going to speak comfort to them there. He's going to cause them to pass under the rod. That's the rod message that we have here. And they're going to bring them into the bond of the covenant. And so he's going to purge out the rebels from among them, and they'll now enter into the land of Israel. So what's going on here in the United States? He's getting people out of 160 nations of the world. He's bringing them all here into the United States and Texas. And he says he's going to speak comfortably to them, going to cause them to pass under the rod and into the body of the tree. And those that can't do that, he's going to purge them out, and they'll not enter into the land of Israel. Where is he going to purge them out to? He's going to destroy them. He's going to destroy them off the face of the earth. That's what's going on right now, building up to right now. Isaiah 25:7, and he will destroy in this mountain. What mountain? This Mount Zion at the 12th hour, the house of David. That little stone here now, the Mount God hands there, and Daniel 2:44-45. That's what this mountain is. The house of David. And the veil that is spread over all nations. When the covering under which the nations now stand rolls away, then shall they find themselves in the open, vulnerable unto the wind and storm. Yes, when the veil which now hangs over all peoples of the earth is pulled down, then shall they see that which they cannot now see. And what then? Isaiah 25:8-10. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For Yahweh has spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our Yahweh, we have, this is our Savior, our Yahshua, our Redeemer. Says, this is our Savior, we have waited for him. And he will save us. How is he going to save us? He's going to save us by the blood of the everlasting covenant, of the new covenant. He's going to, he will save us. This is the Yahshua. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. What's his salvation? The Bible tells you it's the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 10, that Yahshua shed so he could operate as a high priest in the heavenly sanctuary in the New Testament for these last days, for this time, for the saving of souls. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Yahshua rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. To make these great events possible, not only the ones who at that time ruled the land, but Moab too, we see, shall be trodden down. Okay, who is Moab? That's your Palestinians, that's your Arabs. That's what the fight is on in Israel today, is over those Moab trying to take over their brethren in Israel. And who could Moab be if not the Arabs, who now lay heavy claim to the land of Palestine? Soon the world will find that Yahweh has not forsaken the earth, and that Yahweh is a master of the situation. Isaiah 25:11-12. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, As he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. This is what's going on right now in the land of Israel. These verses hold the fact before us that it matters not what kind of fortification men may devise, as such shall nevertheless be brought down as a straw when the Yahshua manifests his power. Having now clearly seen this wonderful Bible truth, let it be you to serve. Isaiah 25:1. O Yahweh, thou art my Yahweh. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. So he says, here we are shown that as a result of this revealed truth, some will truly accept the Yahshua of the Bible as their Savior, their Redeemer, and will pledge to exalt Him and ever to praise His wonderful name, and that because they see that He has done wonderful things, His counsels of old will they not turn down, because they will know from experience that His counsels are faithfulness and truth. They will, from personal experience, know Yahweh's power and say. But 2,000 years ago, when Yahshua came, He had a 3.5-year ministry, and He gave out thousands of counsels for 3.5 years. This is the counsels of old is talking about, and of the clear back to the Garden of Eden as well. Isaiah 25:2-3. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear them. The city of this verse must be the one first mentioned in Isaiah 24. It says, the city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for the wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. And the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with the destruction. And thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people. There shall be as a shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They, those who are not shaken down, shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Yahshua, for they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Yahshua in the fires, even the name of the Yahweh, the Father of Israel, in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory unto the righteous. As a result, there shall be converts from the four corners of the earth. There you have it right there. There's going to be converts from the four corners of the earth. But if you've got the truth that will bring these converts, but don't let the devil trick you and giving it up. You rebuke the old devil. You say, I have found the pearl of great price. And if you don't think so, go read the whole 13th chapter of Matthew and read about the man that found the pearl of great price. He went and sold all that he had and bought it. He said, I found it, and I'll sell everything I got, and I'll go buy that field. That is actually taken from a true story that happened back in Bible time. There was this man that was so poor, he went to this rich man. He said, you got a piece of ground out here that you don't farm because the soil is no good. And the man says, yeah. He said, well, can I plow that field? And the rich man says, yeah, you can plow it. The soil is no good. But you can go do all you want to with it. So the rich man went out there and started plowing that soil. But no good. And all of a sudden he plowed up this treasure chest full of gold and silver. And boy, I mean, he covered it back up. He went and covered that back up. He went home and sold everything that he had. And he come back to the rich man and he says, this is all the money I got. Would you sell me that field? And that rich man says, yeah, you have just enough to buy that field. So that man gave him the money. That rich man gave him a title, that no good land. That rich man went up there and he dug up that treasure and he took it and he became a very rich man. He found the pearl of great price and no good worthless field. Well, where are we at today? They, those who are not shaken down, shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of Yahshua. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify you the Yahshua and the fowls, even the name of the Yahweh of the Israel and the isles of the sea. Okay. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard song, even glory to the righteous. As a result, there shall be converse from the four corners of the earth. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me, the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously, yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. Isaiah 24:10-17. The following quotation from the spirit of the prophecy adds light unto these verses. I saw jets of light streaming or shining from the cities and villages, and from the high places and the low places of the earth. Yahweh's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimony, Volume 9, page 28 and 29. In the land of Judah, we have a strong city. Salvation, for Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. Now go put up the word salvation in the Bible. There's many verses, I forget, I print them off one day. There's many, many verses that has the word salvation in it. And fold it up and put it in your Bible and take it whenever you're reading anything about salvation. Read those scriptures in the Bible that has the word salvation in them. And you'll find a whole divine revelation right there. For the song, for the majesty of the Yahshua is therefore to be sung in the promised land. And there will the saints have a city that cannot be shaken down. For it is to have salvation for walls. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 26:2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Well, it just happens to say that in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I believe, talks about this nation that comes forth, and Isaiah 66 talks about this nation being born at once. Here is talk that all this takes place in a day of the salvation. But folks, we're in the day of salvation right now. In a day that the gates can be opened for a righteous nation to enter in. Yes, a whole nation of such as should be saved. A whole nation. Not one sinner in their midst. And you know what? That nation actually is designated as the United States of America. And kind of just through getting rid of all the wicked out of this country. First, they're bringing all the wicked into this country. They're going to separate them out of here. Going to have all the righteous left. And guess where this righteous nation is going to end up going? Into the land of Israel. Because the land of Israel is going to be renovated in the last day. Going to be made whole brand new again. And all the righteous from this nation here are translated into the King of His dear Son in the land of Israel in the end time. And then they go from there to heaven. When it's all over. Here is taught that all this takes place in the day of the salvation, in a day that the gates can be opened for a righteous nation to enter in. Yes, a whole nation of such as should be saved, not a sinner among them, shall then respond to the call, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. There's Revelation 18 right there, the call to come out of Babylon. And what is that call? That's the last call to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, to come out of Babylon. Isaiah 26:3-4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust you in the Yahshua forever, for in the Yahshua is the everlasting strength. Let's do that again. Trust you in the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, forever. For in the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is with the everlasting strength. Yahshua is with the everlasting strength because he has the everlasting covenant that the Father raised him up with. The blood of the everlasting covenant in Hebrews 13:20 says Yahweh the Father raised up his Son from the grave through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Okay? That's where your everlasting strength is at. That blood will flow throughout eternity. Although throughout the years of history, nations have developed great power, yet not one has retained that power forever. For we are here reassured that those who trust in the Yahshua shall have eternal peace and everlasting strength. So no matter what Satan tempts you with, find out where your everlasting strength is at and take a hold of it and don't let it go. Isaiah 26:5-10. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even unto the ground. He bringeth it even unto the dust. The foot shall tread it down. Even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, and the way of thy judgments, O Yahshua, have we waited for thee. For the desire of our soul is unto thy name, and unto the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be shown unto the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of the uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Yahshua. That's what's wrong with the Arab people in the land of Israel today. They're fulfilling what I just read here. They're dwelling in a land of the uprightness that they're not beholding. They're not beholding the majesty of the Yahshua. That's in that very land. It says, these verse, is supposed to put the S on the end of verse. For these verses plainly tell us that when the judgments of the Yahweh fall upon the earth, the righteous-minded will learn righteousness, but the unrepentant sinners will not learn righteousness, regardless of what is done for them. And this is why they are to be barred from the congregation of the righteous. For the righteous, however, even now feel Yahshua's mighty hand, and painfully they declare, Isaiah 26:11. Yahweh, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed, for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Indeed, when Yahweh's hand is lifted up to deliver his people, the wicked will not see it. But after the righteous are delivered, the wicked will clearly see and envy, but it shall be to their shame and too late to do them any good. Even now, while the latter rain is falling, the self-righteous who imagine that they have need of nothing are either running away from it or pulling their raincoats over their heads. The seekers of the righteousness, though, come out in the open. Thus they learn to say, Isaiah 26:12, Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us. For thou also hast wrought all our works on earth. This can be said only by those who allow the Yahweh to perform his work in their heart, so that they may praise him. Isaiah 26:13-16. O Yahweh, other lords beside thee have had the dominion over thee, over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Yahweh. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth, Yahweh, and trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. These verses declare that Israel of the promises, not the unbelieving Jew, have increased in the number since having been removed from their land, since having been scattered to the ends of the earth, while this chastening being driven away from their land is still upon them. They pour out prayer and say, Isaiah 26:17-18, like as a woman with a child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in the pain and crieth out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Here is shown that the eyes of the penitent are to be opened. They are to see themselves as Yahweh sees them, and confess that they have hitherto failed in their efforts, that they have travailed, have been in pain, but have brought forth only wind, as it were. For the impenitent think that they themselves are rich and increased with the good, are doing a great deed, and are in need of nothing. Yes, the church may now boast of her achievement, or her so-called large membership, but not long hence will she too discover that she has failed to finish her work, that the world is still destroying the earth, that her people are unsaved, and that rather than having brought forth salvation, she has brought forth nothing but wind. Now this is talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In the mighty shifting scene that takes place, we shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. The signs reveal that the time is near when the Yeshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. Isaiah 26:19. Thy dead men shall live together, with thy dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dead, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Not only the living, but the dead also shall be gathered into the strong city. We are already here, Yahweh pleading with us all, saying, Isaiah 26:20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Now this is present truth right now. Yahweh has brought my wife and I to this place right here, and quite a place in the country. We're recovering our health, and we're recovering a lot of things. This is where we will arise from after we recovered, because this is that secret chamber that he's hidden us in until this, brother, there's going to be a civil war in this country. Okay. Alright, it says, this please shows that we are approaching the time of trouble, and that Yahweh is anxious to have us under cover. Well, we have just entered into that time of trouble, as of this solemn assembly, this past 2023, we just sent to it a week ago, solemn assembly, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's when they prepared the war on Israel. Okay? The wives will hear him and will accept the chambers, the protection he provides for them. Okay, so this is the chambers that he's provided for me and my wife. Okay. There's a blessing for those that owns this land. Isaiah 26:21. For behold, the Asher cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Earth and prophecy we know is the United States. All these truths, which Yahweh is now bringing unto our attention, point to one thing, that the great and terrible day of the Yahshua is at hand, that he is soon to manifest his power and shake the earth so that everything that cannot be shaken may stand. Are you not glad, brother, sister, that Yahweh is giving you first opportunity to get ready for the day of the Yahweh, to hold fast unto his ever-increasing truth? This is the end of two-time reading number 5. And now let's go back and read two-time greetings number 4. Okay, it says that the dead and the living make up the whole house of Israel. God fails. Now God is your Arab country, your Arabs. The Palestinians, those men, they're trying to prevail, but it says they fail. August 30th, 1947, we tell them. Our subject today is found in Ezekiel chapters 37-39. These chapters are long and time will not permit us to read every verse, nor even to comment much on them, and so we shall not try to cover all. I'll tell you what, let's erase all that, and let's save that for last. Let's go back to two-time greetings number 6. Okay, two-time greetings number 6. It says, lewdness flees away at children's protest. Revival and Reformation when? September 11, 1947, B.T. Howard. Our subject is found in the first and second chapter of Hosea. We shall begin with Hosea 1:2. For the beginning of the word of the Yahshua, or Yahweh, by the Hosea. And the Yahweh said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredom, and children of whoredom, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Yahweh. For we immediately see that this wife and these children symbolize Yahweh's people departing from him. And that such a wicked act he calls whoredom. So we know the Adventist Church has completely worldwide have departed from Yahweh. They departed from the 2300-year prophecy that brought Ellen G. White, the three angels' messages, the five angels' messages, the judgment of the living, the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, the antitypical day of the atonement, The restoration of the sanctuary to depart from all of that. That was given in 1844. Okay, so it says in Hosea 1:3-4. So he went and he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, and bare him a son. And Yahshua said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. So Yahweh's reason for this naming Hosea's first visionary son was to signify that in a little while he was to avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, who was then the king of Israel. Then declared the Yahweh, Hosea 1:5, and it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. To break the bow would mean to break the nation's military strength. The history of this is recorded in 2 Kings 10 and 11, Hosea 1:6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And Yahweh said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. This child's name was to denote the complete destruction of the house of Israel. For the 10-tribe kingdom, this destruction, we know, was accomplished by the king of Assyria, who scattered the people throughout the cities of the Medes. For the history of this is found in 1811. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Hela and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. Hosea 1:7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Yahshua, or by the Yahweh, their Yahweh, and will not save them by the bow nor by the sword, nor by the battle, by horses, nor by the horsemen. Actually, we need to read that again. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. This is where Yahshua, he's the king of Judah at this time. He's a Shiloh. That's mentioned there in the prophecy of Genesis 49:10. That's a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and that's Yahshua. And unto him shall he give another people peace. So Hosea is talking about Yahshua, this Shiloh, that's coming to Judah here in the last day, and will save them by the Yahshua. Yahshua the Son is going to come and save them by the Yahshua. And will not save them by the bow, nor sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Yahshua promised to spare the house of Judah from the invasion of the king of Assyria. The history of this incident is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 19:35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Yahweh went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. When she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bear a son. Then says Yahweh, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh. For the name of the third child was to signify that though Israel and Judah were Yahweh's chosen people, the day was fast approaching in which they would no longer be called his people. The fulfillment of this phase of the prophecy brings us to the Christian era. Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living Yahweh. In spite of the calamities that were to overtake the children of Israel, they were to become very numerous. And when they are thus greatly multiplied, they are again to be called the sons of Yahweh. And so here we see a prophecy of the rebellion of Yahweh's people and Yahweh's rejection of them, as well as their repentance and acceptance by him. Let us here for a moment discuss the tithes, Judah and Israel. When superficially read, these titles are, as a rule, misconstrued and made to mean the identified Jews. But we must not be superficial readers and thinkers. Let us be a deep Bible student. Now, everyone knows that the identified Jews of today are but a handful, certainly not as the sands of the sea. For the innumerable children of Israel, therefore, cannot be the unbelieving Jews of today. Besides, the identified Jews of today are not the descendants of the 10-tribe kingdom, but of the 2-tribe kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. Who then is this multitude of the people referred to in Hosea's prophecy? We must not overlook the fact that the gospel of the Yahshua divided the house of Judah into 2 sects, Jewish and apostolic. Vicky Hall got the word Christian here, but I got the word apostolic. That the apostolic church, for about 4 years after the resurrection of Yahshua, consisted practically only of the tribe of Judah, the Jews. Plainly then, the original apostolics were full-blooded Jews. That means the disciples. That's what he's talking about. The apostolic church is only a branch of the Jewish church. So Vicky Holler was talking about when they were called Christians at Antioch. And their descendants have through the years lost their racial identity. Then, too, the descendants of both Israel and Judah, who through the years of the captivity lost their identity, as did the Jews who embraced Christianity according unto the prophecy, must also have greatly multiplied. Plainly then, many who are taken as Gentiles are but unidentified descendants of the ancient Judah, Israel, and the Jewish Christians.
Apostolic.
The Christian church herself is, as we have seen, a Jewish Christian church. So that's actually be talking about the Seventh-day Adventist church today. These are descendants of Jacob who were assimilated by the Gentile nations, therefore were to multiply as the sand of the sea. They are the ones who, after becoming Christians, at first at Antioch, are again called the sons of the living Yahweh. Of those who first embraced the Christian faith, the typical apostolic faith, as the Apostle Peter speaks, thus, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of the Yahweh, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. 1 Peter 2:10. And the Apostle John says, that as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Now we see that the prophecy of Hosea 1 begins with the house of Israel and Judah, the 12 tribes, and brings us down through the stream of time unto the Christian era for light on the church in the Christian period. We turn to Hosea 1:11. Then shall the children of Judah and the two tribes, Kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, and the children of Israel, the 10 tribes, be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. For the word of Yahweh therefore definitely declares that the subjects of the torn down kingdom, Judah and Israel, as Christians along with the Gentiles that have joined them, will gather together and appoint themselves a king. In a similar symbolism, the prophet was told that after many days of the obscurity and wandering, shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahshua, their Savior, and David, their king. Evidently, David is the one head whom they appoint, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter day. Hosea 3:5. And as I said before, if I lay claim to being this antithetical David, there are those that heard me say this, that, oh, he's exalting himself. There he is. He's looking for a place in the scriptures to say, this is who I am. This is who I am. Well, this is who I am, this antithetical David, that they come seeking. When Yahweh raised me up from this physical problem that I had, the whole world is going to see it. This brings in about Stephen Shaw. Contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message more. We're going to close now with a song.